in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate each and every one of you. This is Revelation. I am your host, Peter Kling. And we're going to get into some interesting things in accordance with what we are facing here in these last days and what we're going to be facing in what would appear to be the reality of what we are headed to. It all comes down to ETs. Are they angelic or are they demonic? And so we're going to get into that a little bit. I want to thank you again all for being with us. Hey, hit the like button, subscribe, share the channel with other folks. This is information that the people that listen into this program are getting information that you won't hear a whole lot of it, or at least not the application, in probably any other podcast that you listen to. Once upon a time, Dr. Rand, who was my co-host, when we're doing the final countdown, he'll be coming back. He's taking care of some personal issues, but he'll be coming back. When we were together, we actually had the number three show on the planet. Clive Lewis and Ground Zero was number one. Dark Matters was number two. And hello, the final countdown was number three in our time slot and in our genre. Number three on the planet. And now there's a small audience. And these are the audience that we have, Rascala. These people are probably some of the most enlightened people on the planet. If they listen to this show, that they will be among the most enlightened people on this planet. The people that know aren't talking, and the people that talk run a fine line. We take it's the proverbial snail going down the straight edge of a razor and returning unharmed. And basically it's a snail crawling down the edge of Axum's razor. You go to the most simplest explanation, it's probably the most logical and the most true. That's Axum's razor. So we're taking a very interesting journey. One of the snails who seemed to have not done too good going down that razor just recently died. It was surprised me, David Wilcock. I've heard a lot of different people are kind of astonished that this actually happened, and I've heard nobody's believing the official story. And I have heard a story that makes sense from somebody who is pretty much the same line as I am in our thinking of David Wilcox. I'll get into that in a little bit. But he may have come up with a logical explanation. I'm sorry, I don't recall the person. He does end times End Times Prophecy, I think, on YouTube. But anyway, we'll talk more about that later on. But with David Wilcox, what was your take, Riscala?
I was shocked. Yeah, wasn't expecting it. And one of his friends pointed out that, because I always thought of him as a spiritual kind of guy that talks about ancient aliens and current alien and UFOs, I didn't realize that he's actually a scientist as well. So he's among those that, whether it was like 13 of them or something.
I guess he would make it the even dozen. I haven't followed David in quite some time, and I know exactly when I stopped listening to him. But I learned a lot of things from David, and I give credit where credit's due. And I had my questions. I kind of lost any confidence I had in him. He had got involved with Benjamin Fulford, but more so this guy named Duke. I believe that's the handle he went by.
Duke the Puke.
Whoever he was. And I remember listening to one of the interviews and with Benjamin Fulford. I've been listening to Benjamin Fulford for quite some time, and I think he goes off the rails every once in a while. But, you know, he comes across, he's provided some pretty interesting information, especially when it comes to the people running this planet. They tell them what they want us to know. What it comes down to. And he's a journalist, so he's an investigative journalist. So I put a little trust there, and I take everything with a grain of salt. But it was after that interview, I don't know what happened exactly after the interview, but the next time I heard David Wilcox was on an interview with Kerry Cassidy, and he said they threatened to kill me, and he broke down into tears. I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking, shit, David, they've done that to me several times. Be a man, own up. I got pissed with him. He sounded like a sniveling 12-year-old girl. And I was like, grow a pair. Now, you know, I'm not saying anything. You know, I'm not glad he died or anything like that, but he lost credibility with me. And then he got hooked up with the super soldier, what's his name, with the blue chicken people. I'm like, okay, so what was this, a lead up to the movie Avatar? I don't know. But blue chicken people? I can't remember that guy's name. It'll come to me in a little bit, but everybody embraced him. You know, he was this super soldier, and I listened to him a few times. I just couldn't buy it, and I'm like, what's Wilcox getting into? What, he hire himself a super soldier after they threatened to kill him? I don't know. And so that's pretty much when I stopped paying any attention to what David Wilcox are doing. You know, he lost credibility. But, and Riscala, maybe you followed him more. You know, I stopped following. Interesting. So did this podcast who came with this hypothesis, because he did a little dive and did some research into and listened to some of David's last podcasts. And he, before I get into that, what was your take on what David was doing? I think he's smart. Was smart.
Yeah. First, if that was the same interview I saw where he was crying, mm-hmm. apparently somebody was talking with somebody on the phone, and whoever it was on the other end of the phone said something to the effect of, you have no idea where I'm calling you from, or something like that. which kind of gave me the impression that whoever he was talking to was not terrestrial. It was not around here. It was coming from outer space. Anyway, that's my opinion. I think what he was trying to do is just awaken people. He believed that he could have been the second coming of, and my mind just went blank, the guy that was he was a
Edgar
Christian.
Casey.
Edgar Casey. Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah, he believes yeah. he was the second coming of Edgar Casey. And I think he was just trying to wake people up, really. I do remember the interview that if it's the same one where he was literally crying like a baby. He was yeah. scared, poopless. He was scared, very, very scared. But what I remember the most was whoever he was speaking with on the other end of that phone saying, "You have no idea where I'm calling you from." And he definitely gave me the impression that I'm calling you from, not from the planet. I'm not on the planet. Or wherever this person was, it was a male-sounding voice. Wherever he was, it was someplace where humans don't normally go.
I'm 99% sure, okay? And I came to this conclusion quite some time ago, but I'm 99% sure that we do have bases on the moon, and yes, on Mars, too.
As well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you listen to what Laura Eisenhower, and here again, take it from the source, years ago she claimed, and her story's changed over the years, maybe just because of things she's learned, I don't know, but pretty sure she'll stick to the original one. She was tapped. Now, keep in mind, she's Dwight D. Eisenhower's granddaughter, and she made the claim that she was tapped to be part of the Mars ARC program. They were going to take, think of the James Bond movie Moonraker, where you take certain people from a society, or in Moonraker, they took like the best looking and most brilliant people on the planet in their age group, and they were going to bomb the planet and then repopulate it with these people. Alrighty then. That was the movie Moonraker. But Laura said that she was tapped to go to Mars on the Mars ARC program years ago. It got to be 15 years ago. I actually interviewed her back in the early days of my podcast and my radio. And it was supposed to be an hour interview, and we got snapped off in the first half hour. The end of the first, it was like, bang. Took us right off the air because of where we were going. And I did a follow-up interview with her after that. But, you know, she's interesting. She's got an interesting story. So, you know, I did some remote viewing, if you want to call it that, but I projected and looked around on the planet Mars mentally and consciously. And, yeah, there's underground bases there, and they're doing cloning there. There's also a cloned army on the moon. And that's the reason. Okay, maybe we went to the moon. Maybe we didn't go to the moon on a rocket. But we went to the moon on secret spacecraft. I'm almost sure of that. I'm almost sure of that. And this is an interesting segue to where we really want to go. But, yeah. And so we really, you know, NASA is the fireworks show of the secret space program. And now we've got this whole thing coming up with, you know, disclosure. And I'm sure Wilcox would have been probably right on top of that. Have you listened to him recently, like within the past year or so, Griscola?
Not really. I've seen the short video clips that they have. I've seen a couple of them, but I really haven't been following him. I don't really have anything against the guy. I've been going other ways, and especially with being, this is my opinion, especially with being betrayed by a man a lot of people put their their, not really their faith, their, what am I trying to say? I can't think of the right word. Their confidence. They put their confidence in this man, and turns out that he's not what he said he was going to do. He turned out to be just like everybody else. We thought he was not a politician. I thought, you know, he wasn't a politician. He was a businessman, and he was going to take care of business, and boy, did he ever. Wow.
Well, the podcast that I watched, who put out a little video, it's, I guess, probably about 10 minutes long. End Time Productions on YouTube, if you want to go check him out. But he came up with an interesting hypothesis, and he said probably the real reason what happened, you know, and nobody's got video footage. They're not putting it on this, you know, 6:30 or 7 o'clock news, whatever it is. And the people who know Wilcox are just all surprised. And considering Wilcox allegedly recently said, "I'm not suicidal." Okay, well, what changed? Anyway, this podcast came up in the research that he said he questioned if David was having a what he called a medical episode, and evidently he had, at least he thought he had, sugar diabetes, number one, and he was trying to cure himself with the keto diet, which eliminates all carbohydrates from your body, basically, and you change the way your metabolism works. It's also known as the carnivore diet. And so what his hypothesis was is he put his system out of sync, and he went into ketoacidosis. It's when your body can't process everything the way it's supposed to, when it goes into overload, and that combined with the problem with diabetes essentially put him into a state of psychosis. He said it could happen. It's a viable explanation. And he said, go do the research. And so you had a chemical imbalance taking place within Wilcox's body, and now he's not in his right mind. He's sick with the fever. He's, you know, people hallucinate. I never went through ketoacidosis, so I can't tell you what it's like. But the flip side of that is the subject of tonight's show. Aliens, angels, demons, what's the truth? ETs, aliens, interdimensional, are they demonic or are they angelic? And so when you are working within this business of extraterrestrials and UFOs and UAPs and phenomena that we're not supposed to know about, as I said, you run a fine line. And if the power, if you get too deep or too close to the truth, the powers that be will come after you. They came after me. And so, did David cross the line somewhere? Don't know. But they don't have to kill you with the gun. Heart attack, weapons. Hit you with a sonic beam dialed in at a specific frequency. Gee, where did that just recently happen? Venezuela? Rascal, you heard about this, what we believe to be sonic weapons down there. You want to comment on that?
They were directed energy weapons. And this time, instead of aiming them at houses, they aimed them at human beings. And from what I've read about them, what I understand about a directed energy weapon is, if you can imagine the power of your microwave. And if you don't really understand, take a piece of aluminum foil or an old CD or an old DVD that you don't want anymore, or just a piece of aluminum foil, small piece of aluminum foil, it have to be very big, put it in your microwave, put it on 1 second, just one. If you're going to put a CD in there, put it on 2 seconds and watch what happens. Now, if it goes as it does usually, you'll see there's a lot of popping going off on the CD. If you're a weaker microwave, you may have to go to 3 or 5 seconds. But inevitably what happens is, if you take the power of that microwave and multiply it by thousands and then encase it in a tunnel of light, for lack of a better description, which would be a laser, now it's like taking, if you were ever did some of the stuff that I did when I was a kid, it's like taking a magnifying glass out in the bright sunlight and fine-tuning the reflection of that glass as the sun goes through it, and you can burn stuff. Well, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at a laser beam that encased within that laser beam is a tremendously powerful microwave system. So whatever it hits, it heats up literally in the blink of an eye. This is why you see a lot of the houses that were burnt, things that were made out of plastic weren't even touched, because what happens when you put plastic in your microwave? It doesn't really have an effect on the plastic. But if you put like certain ceramics in your microwave, they will heat up very, very quickly. So I think that's what they use. They use the directed energy weapon, and instead of, and maybe on a lower scale, because I think if they use it at the scale that they use it, like in California or Hawaii, it would literally explode somebody's head. But on a lower scale, and they were complaining about people bleeding through their eyes. It felt like their brains were going to explode, bleeding through the nose. All characteristic of being hit with a microwave.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was just a kid when microwaves first came out. Well, I was in my teens, and my grandmother got one. And I took one of her plates and put something on to put it into the microwave, and it was gold leaf around the edges.
Yeah.
Oh, did that thing light up? Holy hell.
Yeah. That'll do it. You know, I saw my first microwave, Peter?
Military? At
Burger King. At a Burger King. They would cook the... and this is many, many years ago, decades ago, they would cook the burgers and then they'd put them into one of these, like a mini oven kind of thing, which keeps everything warm. And then when it got ready to serve, if you wanted cheese or something on it, or just a hamburger, they put it in the microwave and then they'd serve it to you after they put it in the microwave. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, I had heard a similar story. It was somebody ordered something at an airport. This is when I would have been a real little kid, and stuck it in the microwave and stuck it in this box, and the bell went ding. They took it out and it was hot.
Yeah, watch out, hot. Watch out, hot.
Yeah, you're boiling the water in that is basically what happens, and so. Yeah, that's. I haven't used a microwave in years, but I used a microwave for years, and when you learn that it totally destroys your food, you may want to reconsider.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they've got these weapons, and that's exactly what Starlink is on a communication scale. Change the microwave and the laser configuration, and you've got how many directed energy weapons circling this Earth?
Scary.
Yeah. Yeah, that they have so many different ways of doing things. Where'd they get the technology? You see... get too close to the truth and they come after you. And did that happen to David? Did David have a psychotic event because of diet? He's in God's hands now. See you on the other side, David. That's all I can say. You know, according to scripture, anybody who dies before what we're facing, anybody who does not die during a judgment period, if it's not a judgment period, they are guaranteed a resurrection, because the wages sin pays isn't hell, isn't some burning fire tormenting place. The scriptures say the wages sin pays is death. Oh, but if you're a bad person, you're going to burn forever. How do you burn consciousness? Hmm. What, torment the consciousness? Because you're going to incinerate the body and it's gone. See ya. So, another false concept. And that kind of goes into where we're headed too, because we're never told the truth. What do they hide from us? Even the Bible. When I first started my scientific research into the scriptures, I set up two rules. Number one, there's no miracles. Number two, everything that is recorded in that book is there for a reason. It's a need-to-know book. The answers are within those pages. Is the Bible we have today complete? No. 66 books, there's your tell. They had to split two books. It was 64. They had to split two to make it 66. Hey, it's spiritually incomplete. Thank you, Council of Nicaea. The other situation is the Bible that most people use today is based on the King James Version, or at least that format. Even if it's a better translation of the scriptures, it's still based on that format. The most complete Bible, probably the Ethiopian Bible. But there's a lot of information that we just don't have, and the people who know aren't telling. And so what are we dealing with here? Why won't these people tell us? We know that they're Satan worshipers. We know that they've been hanging on to the teachings of the Anunnaki since ancient Sumeria. Nimrod, a mighty hunter in opposition to Yahuwah, Jehovah. Why was he in opposition? That was his line in the Bible. You got to mention in the Bible. A mighty hunter in opposition. So he opposed God, who was the great grandson of Noah. Three generations, we got a corrupt planet already. And who influenced it? Demonic forces. Alien forces. And we get the whole backstory of the Anunnaki. And these, what I would call aliens, were most likely, as I wrote in Letters to Earth, most likely those intelligent life forces that were used in genetically engineering planet Earth. Yeah, don't go by what preachers will tell you. Oh, the Earth was built in 6 days. Let's see. How long were those days? And it's interesting, we're going through we're completing another day cycle, which is going through the galactic equator, or going past the galactic equator. We're going to have a pole flip. North is south, south is north. It's happened before. We know it in the magnetite.
It's happening now.
Yeah. Yeah, hello, Armageddon. You know, when the poles flip, the lights go out. You want to talk about a convenient time for Armageddon? God's judgment? Jesus' 2000th anniversary, two God days since he started his preaching work. The 2000th anniversary is only 3.5 years away. 2029, the fall, 2033, exactly two God days since he died for our sins. or so we're told. He made it possible to remove the sins so there are or there is no death. And that's even talked about in Revelation, that death would be thrown into the lake that burns with everlasting fire. In other words, total destruction. It ain't hell. It's total destruction. Throw a piece of paper in a fire. Wish you well with that. It's gone forever. It's gone forever. And so when we look at where we are, I'll say, David, we'll see you on the other side of this battle. I've got family I hope to see on the other side. But we have started a judgment period. And that is obvious about what happened to the clergy class of Iran. Sharia law. We saw what happened with that. And we're going to continue to be going through a judgment period as these people who have sacrificed children are done away with until they don't exist anymore. So hold on to your seats here. It's going to get a little bumpy as we go forward. But we do hit a time of peace and security. But not yet. We'll see what Trump has planned for the United States, but we have to have this on a worldwide basis. And so getting through this period, we have to continue to seek truth because they do not tell us what the truth is. But some of it might be revealed in a very deceiving way. And so with that, Riscola, could you put up the first picture that I wanted to put on tonight? This is a very interesting photograph, and if you look at it, you'll notice that this figure here, this skeletal-looking structure, has three toes on its feet, extremely long toes too. And if you can see the hands, we'll see it in the next picture. But if you see the hands, it also has three fingers. Riscola, can you put that second picture up? If you look at the head, it's elongated, and look at the face. Look closely at the eyes and see how big they are. And this is how they show us the gray aliens today. Interestingly enough, these things were hit. They were found in South America, in Peru. Before we get there, and by the way, they did genetically test this thing, and in the podcast where this information was put together, and here again, in this this was another podcast that actually End Times Production put out, and person who they're actually interviewing, I wrote his name down here, it's somewhere. Timothy Alvarino. He's done a lot of research. He actually has a house in Peru, but he's done a lot of research down there. That's where the Nazca lines are. That's where these megalithic structures are, where you see huge boulders, 10,000 to 50,000 ton boulders, put into place like puzzle pieces. And one of them square, but they all fit together. And essentially, they're earthquake proof. Imagine that. Well, under those cities are tunnels. And One of the tunnels actually goes to a cathedral that's in the local city. I believe that if you want to, End Time Productions on YouTube and Timothy Alvarino, I believe the name of the show is Peru Gray Aliens. But through archaeology, this is what they were able to find. Somebody got a permit to dig and surprised the heck out of Timothy Alvarino, but he went down to, you know, look and see what they got, or maybe he was already down there. He's got a house down there. So he part-time lives in Peru. But the research that they actually did on this, they carbon dated it back to about 1,200 years ago, about 1,200 years ago. Think about that. This thing was running around the Peruvian mountains when the church was carrying out its crusade against Islam in the Middle East during the Holy Wars. That's what was running around in Peru, and a lot more like it. If they just recently found this thing, how did they know to turn around and give us pictures of gray aliens or these grays, these gray reptilian aliens? How did they know what they looked like? That's a good question, isn't it, Riscala? How did they know what they looked like?
Yep.
How long were they around? Are they still around today? The Hopi Indians refer to them as ant people. You know, Riscala, I'm looking at something, and Timothy Alvarino said the same thing. He said, you know, he went in there very skeptical, but he said this all looked like all the parts fit. There's another group that's much smaller, and he's not buying that, even though he's been told that, yeah, they're real too. He said it just doesn't, the parts don't fit. Anatomically, it doesn't look like the parts fit. He said, but with this, this is actually a desiccated body. It's not actually a mummy. It hasn't been wrapped up. It was, if you do any research into how they would bury their dead, they were actually also sacrificed in the same way. I believe it was the Peruvian girl that maybe it was National Geographic came out with about 20 years ago, where they uncovered this girl about the age of 12 that was wrapped in these cloths in the fetal position and buried in a small cave on the side of the mountain. And the same thing happened with her. It desiccated her body because it's so dry there. Yeah, there's the ant people. Excuse me. So it fits. And these mummies were found the same way, or these desiccated bodies were found the same way, wrapped in blankets in the fetal position. So I guess the Peruvians got to learn their burial method according to how these things, who may have been looked at as gods or ant people. Makes you wonder about the crystal skulls, doesn't it, Riscala? When you look at the shape heads, and then that, what was it, the movie? Yeah, the Indiana Jones movie, Crystal right. Skulls?
You know, there are really crystal skulls. You know that, right? It's not just in the movies.
I've heard the stories. Yeah, I've heard the stories, yeah. I've heard an explanation. Was it to debunk the crystal skulls or not? I don't know, but yeah, I've seen it. How many are there? It's supposed to be like nine?
I don't remember the number, but gosh, I can see this guy's face in my mind, and I can't think of his name. So, allegedly found some. I don't remember. I want to say in the Amazon, somewhere in the Amazon, but I may be wrong about that. But there was a number of them, and he found them, and he was threatened not to bring it public, or just a typical one of those stories where you find something that they want the public to know about, and so they become threatened with it. That was many, many, many years ago, though.
Yeah, here again, it's like, okay, get too close to the truth and something's going to happen. And did that happen with David? I don't know. There's 11 other scientists that have either died or went missing. That's starting to become pretty much almost headline news, if you want to talk about that. There's now an investigation. I think the FBI is investigating it. What happened with those guys?
Yeah. Nothing's going to happen.
When that one story, I forgot the woman's name, but she went hiking with her friends. And if I recall correctly, she was working on propulsion methods, anti-gravity propulsion methods. And she was hiking and she just disappeared. Vanished. Without a trace. And people. I don't know what to say. But it's interesting that there's a whole underground network, and I'm not talking about the high-speed rail network, but there seems to be this underground network that obviously goes through parts of South America, but the Hopi Indians said the same thing. And according to Hopi legend, these ant people, who it seems when you look up ant people on Google and go see how many people are involved in believing in ant people around the planet. But we're not told anything about that. A change in history. Who are these ant people? Why are they benevolent to some and others maybe not so benevolent? Are they the ones giving us advanced technology? Why can't they live on the surface? The interesting thing, Riscola, is that the desiccated corpse there, the skin was reptilian. It was like a lizard skin. And
wow.
They actually said human DNA has more in common with the mango than it does with that. Mango's got 40% human DNA. That only has 30%. The other 70%, I enjoy it too. Not my most favorite fruit, but I never met a mango I didn't like.
I am a mango munching monster.
Well, yeah, you also lived in Florida for quite some time. Yeah. I don't know if they've got mangoes down there, but that's the climate they're growing.
Yep. All right.
So
back to the subject.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, we actually have more in common with a mango than genetically speaking than we do with these, for lack of a better term, alien grays. Yeah. And were they the builders of those megalithic buildings? Wait a minute, what kind of power do these guys control if they were? Think about that. That adds a whole new dimension on the pyramid, doesn't it? So it's you have to start questioning it. What is their history? You know, are they aliens that are good? Were they allowed to morph into these bodies, and these are the bodies that they used up and disappeared? I don't know. I don't have answers for that. There's no mention of them in the Bible. And that there is a mention of something else in the Bible, though. And here's Rascal, let's go to the red-haired picture. Red-haired giants of Kandahar. Allegedly, because in 2002, when U.S. troops were over there, they captured one of these, though. They killed and captured them. They took losses, though. And was it 12 feet tall? Two rows of teeth, six fingers, six toes? Where have we heard this story before? Hello, Goliath. We've got a biblical connection with Goliath. Are these part of the Nephilim? No. No, the Nephilim were all dead before the flood event, before the ancient Sumerians came to existence, before the Anunnaki came into existence. Let's put it that way. But the Watchers, the sons of the true God, had already taken women for themselves. They saw that earth women were hot, and they took wives for themselves, all that they chose, and they created a race of giants. The Book of Enoch, I always question this, but even the Ethiopian Book of Enoch says that these giants were 300 cubits, a cubit. There was a long cubit and a short cubit. And a cubit is typically taken as 18 inches, which means these things would have been 450 feet tall. Whoa. I don't know if that would have been possible, because they would have been, I don't think that they could have actually lived on the gravity that this planet had at that time. Because the planet's gravity had already outgrown the dinosaurs, or at least the bigger ones, the older, the huge dinosaurs. The environment would only let them get so large. 45 feet? Yeah, I would believe every bit of 45 feet. 60 feet? 100 feet? Yeah, I think that's where it's going to kind of max out at. I saw an interview with the man who claimed to have dug up one of the bones of the Nephilim. And it was a finger joint bone. He said he had it genetically tested, and it's a finger joint bone. Take your, kind of like make a fist and one of those joints. Was the size of that joint from this Nephilim was about a foot long. And if you do the math, you look at that joint, and it's probably close to an inch, maybe a little bit more. How many joints are you high? Do the ratio. If it's an inch and you're 72 inches high, that's 6 foot. If that joint is a foot and you would be the equivalent, well, let's just convert it from inches to feet, and now you're 72 feet high. Possible. Possible. We know we don't see them anymore. That would be obvious. But we get stories of these red-haired giants, some have elongated heads. It doesn't say anything about Goliath's head in the story, but we do know through scripture that Goliath was from the tribe of Anakim, and they were living in Canaan, or the, in the southern district of Canaan. They were one of the peoples that Joshua went and fought against when they took that that land. There's also links to Sardinia historically. I believe Sardinians are digging up what they classify as giants in Sardinia. And we've heard stories of giants being dug up, but here again, 8 to 10 foot giants in burial mounds across the United States. Giants compared to us. When they sent out the 12 spies into the promised land, some of them came back and said, the Nephilim live there. We look like grasshoppers. Rascullo, can you go to the next picture? It's a giant picture. Kind of. Yeah. An actual giant by the name of Robert Wadlow. 8 foot 11 inches tall. Actually, 11.1 inches. Almost 9 feet tall. What if you are part of a family that is genetically disposed to gigantism? That might explain a lot. What if your whole family were large people? Really, really large people. This is an American man, if I recall correctly, but it's not just America. Let's go to the last picture. These are part of the Kashmirian Guard. Kashmir is the small little country that both India and Pakistan think they own. So, yeah, we got pretty big people. Go look on a basketball court. You'll see them. You don't see too many 5'6" people playing in the NBA. But how big are giants? How big are the Nephilim? And then again, what are we actually dealing with? And Rascullo, one thing is becoming more and more obvious as we go further in time, and that is, people are coming to understand that we are in a spiritual war. We're dealing with angels and demons. We're dealing with interdimensional extraterrestrials. And people are starting to get a much... Catherine Austin Fitz recently did an interview that I caught part of, and she made the comment. Now, if you don't know who Catherine Austin Fitz is, she was the assistant secretary for HUD. I forget what the heck HUD stands for. Health and Human Development or something like that, HUD. It was a housing program, if I recall correctly. But anyway, she served as assistant secretary under George H.W. Bush, Daddy Bush. She would have a little knowledge about what's going on this planet, considering her position, her governmental position. But she made the claim just recently that we're in a fight with interdimensional satanic extraterrestrials. Interdimensional satanic extraterrestrials. Wow. It's been questioned, are we seeing that going on between Iran and Israel? Is this country being run by interdimensional satanic extraterrestrials? The good thing is that We also have angelic forces working too. And so there's an interdimensional battle that is actually happening. And guess what? That influence comes down and affects every one of us. You want to know what side, John? Pay attention to your actions. If you don't know that you have a side to be on, time to pick a lane. There's a lot of people involved in whether they know it or not, whether they've been, some of them, some witches know exactly who they are. Hello, Hillary Clinton. And I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. She is actually the head of a coven. Hello, Aleister Crowley. There are a lot of followers of these people who both the Vril Society, the Thule Society, that are all involved in this satanic worship. And the only way to take them down is to be on the side of Yahuwah or Jehovah. And to be on the side of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no other choice, not if you want life. There is no other choice. Who's controlling what? Be prepared for some sort of disclosure. It's coming. They're going to play the alien card. Von Braun said, hey, the alien card will be the last card they play. Or is the last card going to be the Trump card? Either way, it'll have to do with aliens. It's just which group of aliens is in charge. And I'm going to put my money on the King of the Pit of the Abyss, so to speak. Not that I'm backing him, but the King of the Pit of the Abyss will win out over this satanic system of evil. But the King of the Pit of the Abyss isn't going to know when to stop, and he's going to be coming up against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the armies of heaven. So regardless of what galactic connections can be made, it's going to be 3D and it's going to be 5D, if you want to call it that. And keep in mind, we only see in a very narrow band of light. We only see invisible light. You can go ultraviolet or infrared. And so if these critters, the ant people, can change their vibration, just as a chameleon will change its colors, or an octopus to mimic its background, to mimic something totally different. Octopus and cuttlefish are really good at that, at least some species. We have to pay close attention to what is actually going on, because it's going to be a deception. It'll be a deception. So we're kind of heading out of time here. And we do have a great future. We just can't let ourselves be deceived into taking a side or believing in something without doing the research to have a reason to believe in it. Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to go with that. Yeah, the Titanic will never sink. Yeah. Now, we know the story behind that, that's come out. But anyway, people believed that the Titanic would never sink, yet it was designed to fail. So let's not be part of a system that's, going to be a failing system. I don't care how much you like Trump. Is he doing the right thing? Yeah, for now he is. He has a plan to rededicate the United States to God. So he's using the power of scripture. He's using the power of prayer. He used the power that's in this, quote, holy week to carry out war, and a war against a demonic force that was behind the clergy of Iran. We've entered a judgment period. Choose wisely, be careful, and share the love and blessings that we have with everyone that you know. Because it's only through love that we'll be able to get through this. And most of all, God is love. So with that, I'm going to say love and blessings to everybody. Thank you for joining us and indulging us. Hit the like button. Like I said earlier, share the network and the station and this show with your friends. Because you are some of the most enlightened people on the planet. Love and blessings again. Good night, everybody. And thank you very much, Friscola.